Hello, everybody, and welcome to a bonus episode of Rugby with Pads. Just get all of the housekeeping out of the way to start with. As you'll probably have heard in the last episode, if you listened, all our merch is up on Etsy now. You've got links in description. You can go and follow us on all of the social channels and see more about that, or find a subscription to us at Buy Me a Coffee with rugbywithpads.com. Now that's all the way. Let's get on to the content. Today we are going to be talking about buys. Now, for those of you who it's your first year, you might think, Sam, why should I care about people not playing fantasy football? And the reason is because it can kill your team. Not to scare you too much, but we are going through a period from week 5 through to week 14 where there are a lot of teams on buys. And this period, actually, there's a few weeks where you've got real buy-mageddons. And by that, I mean there are a lot of fantasy assets who are pretty popular, and you probably have more than one on your team if you've drafted or followed us on any of the drafts, because I've recommended a lot of these players that are going to affect you. I mean, just looking, so a buy, for those who don't know, is when a team doesn't play. They have a rest week for travel or for other reasons. For Jacksonville, they always have it after they come back from the UK. So they're going to be having theirs in week 7, 6, 8, 7, 8 or 9 or something like that. But yeah, I think they're actually deferring it a little bit because they're basically traveling here for 2 weeks and then having a long one. But typically it's to do with scheduling and to make sure that folks get a bit more of a rest effectively. And you know, it turns a 17-week season into an 18-week season, which is all great for us. We will get to watch more of Red Zone, but it does cause some complications in fantasy, because that week you have to roster your player. You can't play them. They're going to score zero, and you have to find a replacement. And if we look at the coming weeks, I mean, week 5, we have probably our first buy-mageddon. That's why I want to do it now, because you're coming into next week. Waivers is going to be super important. You've got Cleveland, Chargers, Seahawks, and Tampa Bay all on a bye. So in terms of people who are fantasy relevant, you've got DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Kenneth Walker, Justin Herbert, any of the receiving core, Austin Eckler, Godwin, Evans, you've got Deshaun Watson, Amari Cooper, Jerome Ford has now become fantasy relevant as well, and Njoku, if you're desperate at tight end. Huge number of points that would be scored each and every week, not available. Week 6 isn't quite so bad. You've got Green Bay and Pittsburgh, maybe Jordan Love, Aaron Jones, Najee Harris if you're desperate. Week 7 is another one. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams. Wow, 6 teams off as well. You've got Carolina, Cincinnati, Dallas, Houston, the Jets, and Tennessee. Some less relevant players there, but Carolina, you've got Sanders. Bryce Young hasn't really broken out yet, but Adam Thielen at push, he scored 30 last week. Cincinnati, obviously, you've got Mixon, Joe Burrow, Chase, Higgins. Dallas, you've got Dak if you're desperate, but CeeDee Lamb and Tony Pollard are going to be, you know, big misses. And again, a tight end, even Jake Ferguson has seen a lot of lineups. Houston, you don't know who it's going to be each week, so maybe you're avoiding them anyway. And the Jets haven't really come out of their shell since Aaron Rodgers went down with an injury in the fourth play of his Jets career. At Tennessee, yeah, I know Henry's just coming off a 2-point loss, but I'm seeing a bounce back for him. But you know, him and D Hop are still fancy viable, and you've drafted them as such, but they're not going to be available in week 7. And week 9, then you go into, and it goes into another set. But that first chunk, you've got 7, 9, 12 teams not playing over a 3-week period, and you will be affected each week. I can almost guarantee you, if you've got an even spread of players, you will see one of these in a typical 15-man lineup. Week 9 is pretty bad as well. You go to 9, 10, 11, and you've got another kind of big group. It's a bit more evenly spread, but you've got Denver, Detroit, Jacksonville, and San Fran. So, you know, in week 9, you're thinking, I need a replacement for Russ, maybe? No, probably not many people in Denver after their 70-20 thrashing last week. But in Detroit, there's a lot of fantasy assets there. Gibbs, Amon Ross and Brown, Jared Goff, obviously, as well. Jacksonville, you might still be relying on Trevor Lawrence to come good and show his late season form last year. now, but Etienne, Ridley, Kirk, Engram as well has been not awful. And San Francisco, you've got a plethora of options. CMC, Brock Purdy, Ayuk, Debo, George Kittle, all going to be unavailable. Week 10, Kansas City, Rams, Miami, and Philadelphia. So yeah, loads of people. Key highlights, Mahomes and Kelsey, Puka and Kupp, Hill and Waddle, Mostert and Kane. All the quarterbacks in that. DeAndre Swift has become relevant. AJ Brown, Devontae Smith. Again, a huge number of guys. And week 11, Atlanta, Indianapolis, New England and New Orleans. So you've got Bijan, Taylor, depending on where he lands, Ramondre Stevenson, Olave and Kamara. Less of an impact on that one, but still, that tranche of 9 to 11, that's going to be tough. And then in your deciding weeks of your fantasy regular season, week 13, Baltimore, Buffalo, Chicago, Vegas, Minnesota, New York Giants, you've got a lot of first and second round picks unavailable. You've got Lamar, Allen, Diggs, Saquon, DJ Moore, Adams, Jefferson, Mattison, all guys who are drafted in the top 3 to 5 rounds. Finally, week 14, maybe less of an impact for anyone who's being competitive. Terry McLaurin's not going to be there because Arizona and Washington are playing their bye late. Brian Robinson is going to be relevant for some people's squads as well. Josh Dobbs, if he continues his mid-season form against how we played against the Cowboys, and Connor as well, he's the only weapon there that I think is worth a damn. But yeah, you've got some tough weeks ahead of you if you've got any players, full stop. And they come in these chunks that serve to challenge us as fantasy football players. And the reason I want to do it now is because get ahead of time. I try not to panic. And I think that's one of the main keys. You see a lot of people dumping off players and killing their seasons because they want to win that week 5 matchup. And what I want to do is give you a bit of a framework and a guideline of my experience of how I deal with buys. I tend to surf the waiver wire reasonably well, and I have to know my history. And maybe I'm managing a few too many leagues this time around to do it. But I've boiled it down to 5 tips. And I'll try and have them up on the screen on a banner or something if you're watching on YouTube. And I'll post them down in the a link to them in the into the description below as well for those of you watching on Spotify, listening on Spotify or others. I'm getting all my words mixed up. It's one of those days. But here are your top 5 tips for handling buys in fantasy football. And see, not DFS. No, that doesn't matter. It's a bit less. But in redraft or dynasty leagues. And I think the first one is, well, you're doing it right now if you're listening to this, but it's to be prepared. The likelihood is that if you drafted well, you're more than likely to have one or more of these players in multiple weeks. I mentioned before, I'm affected most in week 5. I've leaned heavily on the Los Angeles Chargers by design. And I think, again, I'm quite badly affected in week 13 because I've got some Vegas players, some Buffalo players, some Baltimore and some Minnesota guys as well. You know, it's going to be... Those two are going to be tough, and I'm going to prepare for those in advance. I'm making waiver moves a couple of weeks in advance. That's why I always have an idea of who I'm targeting ahead of schedule. Obviously, you need to be adaptable, but being prepared is the best way. And just mapping out against your players when they're going to be affected and when you're not going to be able to use them is really useful. You've got to make use of those bench spots and have availability for players that can be used to fill in those gaps. Now, you're not going to get starters at value off the waiver wire. If you have a really good team or it's a really shallow team, you might have those competitions already. If you traded for some great assets already, but you just need to be prepared that you need to use them. And that goes into my second piece of advice. Don't panic drop them. If I was to tear up my squad and I realized I can't leave anyone off my bench and there's no one coming in that's going to be good, what am I going to do? And this week I had DK and Keenan, which was a stack that you could have got, and I do have somewhere else. Am I going to drop either of them? Well, I've seen people do that in the past. The likelihood is you're never going to see them again, because if you drop them and someone doesn't have that buy problem, they're going to sacrifice one of their bench warmers to get that player for future weeks. That's the level of competition you should be expecting to play at, and you should expect to play at. So you should be fully prepared to steal other people's players if they do silly moves the same. You know, don't drop them. You won't see them again. And just don't panic. Be prepared. Leads on to don't panic. And I think that also leads on to it's not very sportsmanly, but number three is it is okay to punt on a week. By which I mean, if you're not convinced you're going to win it and you can't find a way to win it without dropping players, then don't. Nobody wins the regular season 14-0, and the likelihood is you don't need to. Having a winning record, maybe pushing to 600, 8 or 9 wins, is normally enough to get you into the playoffs in most standard 10 or 12-man leagues. And I would say, what would you rather do? Drop a player for a spot start to maybe win 1 week out of 14, depending on you won't need it. It's 12% of the success you need over the year. Or damage your week overall with multiple weeks by losing a regular starter. Yeah. Keenan Allen, unless he gets injured, is going to be available from week 6 to week 14 in the regular season. You want to keep that. Don't drop him. But at the same time, as I said, number three, it's okay to punt on a week. Be mindful of the competition. And I would say this is the upside of the sportsmanship. Don't start in a legal lineup. Don't just start empty players. It's no fun for anyone. Not necessarily the person you're playing, because the person you're playing will be very happy that you're not playing anyone. But the people who won't be happy are the people who are competing against them in their portion of the league. You're giving away a win. I don't think that's what we want to do. We want to make it competitive, and we want it to be fun for everyone, no matter if they're involved in the matchup at all or not. And number five is, this is my last tip. You know, these are pretty fundamental tips, and this is going to be a short episode because of that. What if I've exhausted all my options and I can't use my bench? Either because it's too shallow, and I've got an example of that. We've talked about the Zombie League, and I'll do an update on some of my leagues in the next couple of weeks. But Zombie League allows for one bench spot. It's really, really quite shallow. Everyone gets 10 players and a bench spot, and you have to start them each week. So in this situation, I drafted 4 players who were unavailable in week 5. I think it was Cade Otton, Keenan Allen. I think I had Higgins. No, Higgins isn't available in week 5. But I had Godwin as well, and I think a DK. Let's call it those 4. So out of my 3 wide receivers, I was losing 3 of them. And it was, I didn't obviously have the bench space to be able to do that. So what I did a couple of weeks ago is I rode high, and I worked with and end up working with someone in this one. And the Zombie League, you tend to work with people for your own benefit as well, or for mutual benefit, which is what trade should be. And you know what? We'll do an episode on trades because of that. But I saw someone who had equally had 3 people who were going to be unavailable in week 9. I was like, okay, let's do a like for like. I'll take the hit and keep a week 9 on my bench in week 9, or I've got time to defer the problem, etc. So I think I picked up Jerry Jeudy for DK Metcalf. I probably lost the trade based on pure value. Get that. But what I didn't do is sacrifice my team that week, and I was able to start. I will be able to start a full lineup coming into next week. Sorry, this is being produced on a Thursday, by the way. Released on Sunday. If you're at the Wembley game this week, I want to say hello. You know, hit me up on social, and we'll find someone, and we'll go and have a beer. But what we did was we shared the burden over a number of weeks, and we're both on the human side of Zombie. If you want any information on that, go back to my home leagues episode that I've done already. But trading is a good way out of that situation. So yeah, the 5 main tips that I've got for you, just to recap, is be prepared. The likelihood is you will be affected, so get yourself prepared. It's not even likelihood, you will be affected unless you rotate your team entirely each week, or you're only playing DFS, then it doesn't really matter. Don't panic drop. It's okay to punt in a week. Make it fair. And 5, trade. You don't just have to use the waiver wire. And we'll get into that, because trading is hard, and I fully understand that. And I've got one bonus piece of advice as well that's just occurred to me. This is number 6, or bonus star, whatever you want to call it. What if no one wants to entertain trade discussions? You've exhausted all options and you have no other option but to do that. My advice to you is get a better league, or get a better approach. And that's what we'll be talking about in a future episode. We'll be talking about how to approach trading, maximize it for both you and your trade partner as well. Right. thank you so much for listening or watching or however you're consuming this media. Really appreciate it. As always, I did the housekeeping at the start, but you can find all the socials, all the support, etc. Just by watching this, sharing it. Maybe a call to action. If you guys could share this with one person each, that would be amazing. We're looking to pump those numbers up and, you know, make sure we partner with the right people in the fantasy football community as well to grow the pod and to grow this sport that we, you know, hopefully if you're listening, you all enjoy it as well. Thank you as always for listening. Really do appreciate it. I will see you very soon on the Virtual Gridiron.